going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Clinton Yates joins us at 5:30 talking about Shador Sanders' slide into the second round. But right now, Logan Paulson, take command style in just a moment as today's edition of Not My Beat. Talking about what the Commanders do tonight, round two of the NFL draft. We've got coverage with Denton Day and Linnell Willingham coming up a little bit later on after Nats and Mets here on the Team 980. But real quick before we let you hear the conversation I had this morning with Logan, who's got just the best depth of knowledge of anyone in DC media when it comes to these prospects. Was there any pressure, or is there any pressure on Adam Peters tonight to go defense after going offense in round one, especially considering, the defense is kind of what most people consider the weaker side of the ball on his roster?
I think it's just looking at our board and picking the highest player on our board. So I don't think there's any pressure to pick a defensive guy, except I'd feel bad for Joe Witt a little bit, but he was extremely supportive of this pick too. He's a great team guy, all jokes aside. But no, there's no real pressure to do that, to force a pick on the defensive side of the ball. It's just trying to pick the best commander for us.
Sorry, Joe, but best player available it is. So who are some of those best players that might be available? Let's get into it on Take Command.
I think when you look at kind of the people that are available, you know, like the positions of strength, so just kind of going through the big board right now, I think there's a good staple of receivers that fit this build. I think there's one offensive tackle. I think there's one or two guards that would fall in this bucket. But then I was looking at edge rushers, and I was like, gosh dang, like you got Donovan Ezeraku, Nix Gordon, Landon Jackson, JT Tuimoloau, Femi Oladejo, Prince Lumanyelen, Brandon Swinson, Jordan Birch, Jack Sawyer, and David Walker that I think could all reasonably go at 61. So that's a lot of people. What is that, like to 9 people, 10 people? And then you got a couple defensive tackles, probably 4 or 5. You got 2 interior linebackers I think could go. And then you got a couple corners, right? And I think when cornerbacks and safety. So you got Revelle, you got Trey Amos, you got Benjamin Morris, Xavier Watson, Azari Thomas, Jacob Parrish, and Kevin Winston Jr. And I think that's all very reasonable there. So to me, looking at kind of the strength of the draft in the second round, I think you could maybe go receiver, but those edge rushers seem very, very deep. And then the defensive back kind of conglomerate feels very kind of dense at this moment too. So basically, if you're, you know, you're worried that they didn't take a defensive player in the first round, they didn't at a corner or a defensive lineman, like there's definitely a very real option for that to happen here in the second round of 61.
And you have the ultimate fallback of running back in this draft, where only 2 go in the first round. So no Trevion Henderson, no Caleb Johnson, no anybody else popping up. So you have the full slew of running backs you expected. You have an extra safety because I think we mostly expected Emmanuel. We have 2 extra edges, Ezeraku and Green. Yeah. Now Green, I don't know at what point, like is it, hey, we're not going to take him in the first round? Or like, there are definitely going to be teams that are like, we're not taking him at all. So how far does he fall, and where does Washington fit on that? Obviously, the Will Johnson thing is someone's going to take the risk eventually. So I think it is pretty fascinating. In terms of guys that went on 30 visits that are still on the board and potentially available at 61, I think it's worth mentioning, Logan, although it would be a mistake to think that they are exclusively picking from this list.
No, but I just think it's the reason, like we were talking about this earlier, like the reason we're just calling attention to this is that these are people that they have talked to. Like Mike Green came on a visit, right? Does that mean they're going to draft him? Doesn't look like it, right? But like there are some guys here that I think are interesting names that, having watched a lot of film with them, having talked to people about them, I think probably fit that Commander's tag fairly acutely. So that's kind of why we're talking about them.
For sure. And, 30 visits can be, hey, we want to talk to you. Adam literally said this last night. We can talk to you and confirm what it can deny what we thought. But confirm doesn't mean that we like you. It could confirm that we don't like you.
Right.
That we brought you in for a reason because we had questions and the answers did not alleviate those concerns. So of guys that came on 30 visits, let's see here. Ezeraku came on a 30 visit. So I doubt he's still available at 61 and we don't know what they found. Trey Harris, receiver from Ole Miss, is that too rich for him?
No, I think that's probably right in line, you know. But I do think at the press conference yesterday, Adam was like, "Yeah, someone said, you know, what about defense at 61? He's like, "Yeah, maybe, you know, obviously, like, we're not going to rule anything out, but I would feel bad for Joe Wood Jr. if we didn't pick a defensive." You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that it felt like, obviously,
I think they would like to go defense, but they're in that same quote. He's like, "We're going to trust the board." Like, 100%. And something that I really appreciate about them is they don't look at the draft is a 2025 thing. Like, how do we build the best football team moving forward? And if they know that their entire receiver room outside of Luke McCaffrey and Terry McLaurin, once he signs his extension, they all could be gone next year. So like, taking a receiver is not crazy. Caleb Johnson, the running back out of Iowa, Oladejo, the edge out of UCLA. How far down is Quincy Riley on the corner list? Because they met with him like four times, including a 30 visit.
So I have not, I'm going to be perfectly honest, I have not watched him yet. I get these lists from like PFF, you know, and he was not on the list at the beginning of the season, but I've heard that they do like him. And again, like, he felt like, at least I looked him up last night, like he's in like that fifth round, like 120 kind of range. So fourth round, I guess that would be. But, you know, like, if you really like him, potentially that's a spot for him.
So here's why I'm going to mention him as a watch out, even though he could very much wind up there. Dane's got him as a third, fourth round guy. But listen to the guys that are around him. So he's his 11th corner. Noah Williams is his eighth quarter. Jacob Parrish is his ninth quarter. Benjamin Morrison is his 10th quarter. Darian Porter is his 12th corner.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's a dense group there. And if he's in the same range as like even Noah Williams and Jacob, like Jacob Parrish and Noah Williams are two of my favorite defensive backs in this class. And so the fact that he's sitting right there, I kind of would cluster them in the same group. But yeah, that's very illuminating for sure.
Jonas Sanker from Virginia, the safety.
Oh, the safety. Yeah.
He was at an 30. They met with him a ton. I think he might have been is he a four guy? Let's see. Yep, four different. So that's like, you know, I don't have the list back in front of me again, but like Senior Bowl, Combine, Team Pro Day, 30 visit. But like, definitely 30 visit, and they visited with him four times. He's Dane's sixth safety, third round grade from Brookler.
And I kind of went through, and I do this thing because like last year they had a type. They had long arm. It's the same kind of thing they did with Connerly, right? They have to meet certain athletic thresholds, like 34-inch arms, like fast 40, like blah, 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 blah. So that's kind of how you pick the offensive lineman, right? They met with Anthony Belton, who like is an offense. He's like, he ran a 5-1. He's got 35-inch arm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they've got a kind of box they have their offensive lineman in. And with the safeties, I remember looking like Tyler Owens, 33-inch arms. Dominique Hampton, 33-inch arms. They like the length, and a lot of safety coaches that I talk to around the league, they like the length of their defensive backs because it allows them to play man coverage. And I think he's 32.5, which was one of the longer arm lengths of defensive backs at the combine this year. Is that right?
6 foot and a quarter, 205, 32.5-inch arms. Ran a 4.48 with a 1.61 split. 36.5-inch vertical, but a 10.8 broad jump.
What was his wingspan? Is it on there? I don't want to put you on the spot.
It is 78 inches at his pro day.
Yeah. So like he's a big safety, right? And like he plays at and around the line of scrimmage. He's very productive. He's physical. He's a little stiff to me, to my eye, but I remember watching him being like, this guy feels like a, you know, kind of a Jeremy Chinn guy that has a little bit more athletic upside. So I think that's a really interesting pick. And I do think 61 is not out of the question there if you really, really like the prospect.
Yeah. And especially again, if you're, he's in that big extra large bucket because you don't pick again until 128. He's probably not going to be there. Last guy, Belton, by the way, did come on a 30 visit. I just didn't mention him because I would be stunned if they went offensive line again.
They might go offensive line another point in this draft, but like going at 29 and 61. I mean, I like Belton a lot. Like he's one of,
at that point, we start screaming, what in the Atlanta Falcons is going on here? Got to get one in. David Walker is the last guy that I'll mention. Unless you got anything. Jalen Smith, corner out of Southern Cal. He's probably a little bit lower.
Good football player, but I think a little bit lower. They had another interesting name on there. He was like
Carlin Vigors, Louisiana Monroe.
Yes. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. 6'2", 200 pounds, good length. Feels like in that fourth round range. But again, if you love him, if you love him and you think he's anywhere from the 61 to 128, he's on the board here. But I do think the two edge rushers that they mentioned, they get me kind of, I get the warm fuzzies for those guys, right? Because we've talked about Femi Oladejo. He's a Bruin. But I told this story to Kyme this morning. We were talking on the phone. And like, I remember, I don't know if I told this on this show, but there was a moment in the Senior Bowl practice where they were doing like a red zone kind of team run period. And he was on the field and, or he was on the sideline and someone made a tackle and he like sprinted on the field, dapped everybody up, and just the defensive energy, it was kind of a flat practice, just went through the freaking roof. You know what I mean? So next play, tackle for loss, he's talking mess to everybody. And you're just like that, like I get tingles just thinking about it, right? Like that gets me excited. And again, he's making a transition from off-ball linebacker to edge. The edge stuff at the Senior Bowl was excellent. And not the best bender, but the competitor, the toughness, like he had a period where it was like, we wanted to see you do off ball linebacker coverage stuff. And so he just popped over and started covering running backs. And I was like, that's what you, in terms of versatile, competitive, tough, love it. And then David Walker is this little short, sought, you know, I like traitsy, big, tall edge rushers. So he's 6 foot. He's almost 270. He's got 31 and a quarter inch arms, 3/4. So not a big guy, but I'm being totally honest here. He did not lose one pass rush rep at the Senior Bowl. Oof. So like just, he's got great power. He walks people back into the quarterback and he feels like a guy that could have 10 sacks in the NFL. Like his rush profile is very unique. It's short, sawed off. Think like Brandon Graham type guy, but both those guys to me at 61 are like very, very, I would be stoked if either one of them came. I'd be like on the show. I'd be like, yeah, I wouldn't be doing Fred Davis. You know what I mean? But I'd be pretty stoked about both those guys.
You also got guys like Jordan Birch, who's obviously a teammate at Oregon of Connery. By the way, we'll wrap up with this because I know we're running short on time here. Logan and I said, we'll try to go like 30 minutes. We don't need to do a full 45-minute episode. Here we are, 41 minutes in. Classic take
classic
command
us.
Style. How about this from the Beast from David Walker's profile? When studying FCS tape, you shouldn't need to know a player's number, and that is absolutely true with Walker, who quickly jumps out as the best player on the field, even on Central Arkansas's terrible purple and gray field.
Yeah,
game throwing shots.
It is purple and gray.
It's just like bombs. I don't care. Central Arkansas. But, play on
and
green
you
grass.
Watch him, you watch him at Central Arkansas, and you're like, this is
not
like,
fair.
This is ridiculous. Like,
I will say with him, he's also like 25 years old.
Is he really? I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah, six-year senior. He's 24.89 on the age. So we're going to be 25 before the season starts. So I hope
how
you're a 25-year-old playing at Central Arkansas that you absolutely are killing people. That's if you're an NFL prospect, I would hope.
How old was Femi Oladejo?
Oladejo is not even 22. He's like 21 and a half.
Young, spry, got good joints still.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get that going.
Birch is like 23. Jackson's 22. Scorton's the fun one. He's not even 21 yet.
Dude, I doubt he's there at 61, but I like him. Landon Jackson, love him. Scorton, love him. Femi Oladejo, love him. Dave Walker, love him. And so the fact there's four dudes that you're just like, and again, there's other guys that I'm not even mentioning, like the kid from LSU, I really like
Swinson. What about Josiah Stewart, Michigan? I've heard some
dude,
people that really like
he's interesting because he, you know, he ran a 4.9 at his pro day.
Whew.
And he's not a big man. And so he has some juice. It shows up for sure. But I would be, you know, we talked about the Donovan Zaraku, kind of like, do you have the athletic upside to rush at the NFL level? Maybe it was a 4.89. It was very, very slow for a guy that looks does not look that way on film.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Well, there's a bunch of names that could become Commanders, or someone else will.
Want more from Craig and Logan? Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. More Hoffman Show next on the Team 980 and the free Odyssey app.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Coming up at 5:30, we will get to our conversation with Clint Yates on Shedeur Sanders. 5:45, some other Anthony, I refuse to call them winners and losers in the NFL draft, because I actually hate we don't know who won and lost till like 5 years from now. So calling them that is dumb.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
But we can do hat taps and head scratchers. Or hat tips and head scratchers.
Okay.
Like, hey, I see you. I like what you're doing. Or like, I don't get that one. By the way, I think that's an original thing. I don't think I've heard that anywhere else. I don't think that's, I'm pulling that from the recesses of my mind because I've seen it. And we should write that down because I feel like that's a good segment title.
Okay.
Bookmark. Hat tips and head scratchers. Or head scratchers and hat tips. Which one do we like better? You got till 5:45 to decide.
All right.
I need you to decide right now who you want in the second round of the NFL draft for the Commanders. Anybody that jumps out at you that you're like, Lord, please.
I mean, edge would definitely be something or a position that I feel like we should address. And if it's not edge, then corner. I think we do need to go defensive, unless Trevion Henderson falls to two.
I mean, I think running back is definitely interesting, and there's definitely a good chance that there's a very, very good and intriguing back that's on the board at 61. The thing is with running back, the flavors are so different.
Yeah, I think we can wait on those.
Right.
Unless it's Trevion, though.
But, like, that's your favorite. And I'm not saying that I would not also make the same move. What I am telling you is there are other people who like other backs more, and that makes trying to figure out the value piece a lot harder. I kind of think they're guys tooting from Virginia Tech just because they met with him a zillion times. And that, like, I think a lot of their 30 visits are spent on guys they want to just confirm and have a good time, have a good feel, have a good vibe with, especially those guys they bring in late to the Topgolf visit. Now, there's guys like Mike Green where I think they're bringing you in because they got a real question. They want to sit you down and talk to you face-to-face and be like, hey, bro, like, what the hell happened here? What's up? And then they don't like the answer, and so they pass on you. Ezra Aku, they brought in for a 30 visit. They obviously liked Josh Connerly more, so I don't know what that 30 visit was necessarily about. I also think like Ezra Aku could have been the guy last night if Connerly wasn't on the board potentially, because you know Adam said I didn't think that Connerly was going to be on the board for us. He was starting to sweat after Banks went off the board at 9. It was like, oh God, are the Bears going to take him at 10? Luckily for Adam, the Bears spent $1 zillion on a zillion offensive linemen in free agency, and so they elected to take Colson Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan. But I think there's the edge guys are definitely interesting, and there's like 4 or 5. I don't think Skorton falls that far. Maybe Oladejo does. I think Ezra Aku still being there helps because that's going to push down. Green's the wild card just because, like, obviously if a team is like, we're not taking a first-round pick on that. Because to me, there's three things for Green. There's like three tiers for Mike Green, right? He's off your board entirely, which I think teams like Philadelphia – not on their board. I would not be surprised if here he's not on their board. It doesn't matter. There could be 700 rounds of the NFL draft, and they would not take Mike Green. Because Howie Roseman said, if you've got a violence against women, you know, situation on your player card, and we do our due diligence, and we don't think it's false, we're like, there's legitimacy to it at all, I don't even watch the tape. So Howie Roseman, in theory, and anybody else who thinks like him, which he's not the only one, he just said it on Todd McShay's show and got a lot of praise for it, as he should. It doesn't matter what you think of the player. You don't know what you think of the player because you don't even bother watching the tape. And so he's literally not on their board. There are other teams that will say, we're not going to spend a first-round pick, but eventually the talent becomes enough that like it's worth the risk because we're not necessarily making a moral judgment. We are making a football judgment of we are scared that this could happen again and you are going to be unavailable to us, suspended or jailed. And if that's the case, then or we have feel like we have to cut you for PR reasons, that's not worth a first rounder. But by the second, third, fourth rounder, that's worth it to us. And there are teams that will do that. And so if there's a team like that in the second round that feels like that for Mike Green, he could definitely come off the board. And if he does, that pushes Femi Oladejo and maybe Ezra Aku, you know, Nick Skorton. It pushes all those guys down. So there's a bunch of teams that need edges and some who didn't attack that. Obviously, a team like Tampa, talk about head scratcher. Like, I didn't think there was a team that could draft a Mecca Ibuka, and I'd be like, what are you doing? But, like, Tampa kind of is that team. They're ahead of Washington. You know, Detroit is ahead of Washington. They went defensive line yesterday, but they need an edge. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see. And then I wonder if there's a run on corners. And Maxwell Hairston was a guy that I thought could go in the second round. Instead, he goes in the first, but we all thought Will Johnson would go in the first until the very last second. Now he's going to go in the second, assuming that he's not red flagged medically and has a DeJuan Jones-esque slide, third, fourth round. So, yeah, I think that the positions that Washington needs are very likely to be the top one. The other name that I'll throw out there that I'm mad that Logan and I did not talk about is Carson Schwesinger, the linebacker out of UCLA. I think they like him a lot because his name keeps coming up from people like John Kime. And I know they don't need a linebacker, but it's the kind of thing where if he's on the board somehow at 61, I think there's definitely a chance he's their highest ranked guy and they could go that direction. So just, you know, stick that in your back pocket. I think there's a really good chance he's off the board by 61 anyway, but just, you know, some things to consider, some names to know. We know they're not going to take Shedeur Sanders. One, he's not going to be available at 61. I don't think. Like, although, if, man, I'm telling you, if the Browns pass on him, I don't know where he goes because the Saints don't like him. They didn't even do, like, a full homework assignment on him, according to Daniel Jeremiah last night. So who knows? But we know he ain't coming here. Why is he still on the board? What happened? Clint Yates knows Shedeur real well and Dion real well. He's done a lot of coverage of that program over the last couple of years. Clinton's going to join his first Friday visit talking Shedeur Sanders slide next on the Team 980. Thompson Show, we're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube too, of course, at the Team 980, where you see television and radios. Clinton Yates. Yates, of course, host of Clinton and Friends on ESPN Radio. Morning time, you can check it out on the ESPN app. Hello, sir. Happy Friday.
Hey, buddy. How are you? How was your draft day?
Draft day was busy. It was fun, though. Like, I felt energized all day yesterday. Sure. We did an extra hour of the show. I did live stream and then take command stuff last night. It was way past my bedtime. I mean, right. That, like, again, if the Commanders want to continue being good and my punishment is one day a year, I got to stay up in it a little extra later, I'll take it. But it was
you didn't have
it
to be a long, in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know what I'm saying?
Bingo, bingo. People kept asking me if I was going to go this year because I was in Detroit last year. And I was right. Like, last year they had the second pick. We knew who they were going to take. That guy was there. And it's an airport that is actually fairly popular to fly in and out of.
Sure.
That
not happening in Wisconsin.
None of that is true this year for correct. The Commanders and or the city of Green Bay, where I'm, you know, apparently the locals have gotten mad that everyone just makes cheese curd jokes. I'm like, you brought it upon yourselves.
Yeah, what? You're Wisconsin. You're supposed to be making cheese curd jokes. I don't get it.
I said this last night on the live stream. I was like, every single city gets reduced to this three things, no matter if it's not a small town America thing. Like, oh, hey, look, it's a Jets-Giants game in New York City. Here's the Empire State Building, even though they play in New Jersey.
Right. Well, I mean, it is a small town America thing, though, because, hello, Green Bay, Wisconsin is a small town in America.
No, like, but I'm saying it's like a sports
I see what
thing.
You're saying, but, like, if you're actually a small town, you cannot be mad about the thing that people actually know you for as a small town. It's crazy.
Right. Anyway. And I did find it pretty funny that Ashton Jeanty, who went to Boise State, was like, yeah, there's not a whole lot to do here. So, Green Bay, you've been a lovely host. There's some stuff you're just going to have to deal with. Welcome to the limelight, kids.
Bingo.
We're going to talk about Shedeur Sanders, though, who did not go last night. The Colorado quarterback, who you spent a fair amount of time with over the last couple of years covering that program, falls out of the first round. First of all, do you agree with that characterization, that he fell out of the first round?
I do, but I also don't necessarily think that's the worst case scenario. Now, the only reason I believe that characterization is because, well, they had put those expectations on him. Prime himself had talked about this. And, you know, I this is a situation where for once I actually feel bad for the young man because part of the issue was twofold. Number one, hype has two elements to it. Number one, it can giveth and it can taketh away. And in this situation, he was kind of paired up with Travis Hunter as this kind of package scenario coming out of Colorado. They never were going to have the same path to NFL greatness. Not even close. Number one, because Shedeur plays quarterback, which is an entirely different position as far as how it's scrutinized. And number two, because Travis is just a better football player. And like, that's not some like major argument between other people. So the idea that like Travis was going to go top five and it was just going to be kind of a matter of time before Shedeur got picked, I always thought was unfair to the quarterback. And it showed up yesterday, particularly in a draft where, you know, quarterback need was not necessarily at the premium it once was. I mean, the position overall wasn't highly picked outside of Cam Ward at the top. So that combination of things, I think, led to kind of not a humiliating situation, but certainly an unfortunate one regarding a kid that's got to put himself on cameras in front of the world, ultimately to not have that kind of dream fulfilled, if you want to call it that, in one night.
For sure. Shador's such an interesting prospect. And I have said this on the show before, but I will admit it here for anyone who hasn't heard it. Like, I didn't study the quarterbacks this year. I just flat out didn't study them because for the first time in most people's listening lives, Washington knows who their quarterback is for the foreseeable future.
It wasn't necessary.
I guess we thought in 2012 we had that figured out with Robert. But even then, like, Kirk was the backup. They weren't going to go quarterback in 2013, 2014 on through Cousins' time here. But like, I knew that I don't have to look at these quarterbacks, so I didn't spend time on, especially because there's so many other guys to watch. But Shador is 6'1", like 215. His arm is not amazing. He's not a great athlete. Like, he's good at a bunch of stuff, but good doesn't necessarily get you drafted in the first round. And so the idea that he's a second round prospect or even a third rounder, like, is actually probably the correct football thing. The thing that I'm more interested in asking you about, though, Clinton, is there's then all the stuff that, like, you have multiple people. They were like, that's the worst interview I've ever had. His board work wasn't good. Yeah. You know, there's an entitlement where, you know, he's talking about, I want input on the playbook. I think some of that stuff can be spun. But some of that I think is very real. And I'm curious, as someone who knows him and kind of, you know, understands his vibe, how you read a lot of those quotes and the things that come out.
I think all of that is very real. This also comes with the caveat that I say all the time, which is that quarterback is the worst coach position in the league. Meaning, if you've got a problem with him being this way, then maybe the problem is with you in terms of how you approach things. I'm not saying that outright. I'm saying that I can understand why certain teams are saying, this guy can't go this high on our board. It creates too much of a leverage situation. We don't know how to handle it anyway in terms of what we actually think he's going to do. We're just not doing it. That makes sense to me. Does that directly translate to what I think his actual talent level is? I don't know, but that's why the draft is such a goofy operation to begin with. There's so many other factors as to why certain people go certain places. I will say this. You talk about the measurables. You talk about sort of what you look at when you're thinking about who does what. And like, yeah, Shador Sanders has the skill to be an excellent system quarterback in the NFL. This is your reminder that the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL was effectively a great system quarterback. All these ideas that teams have where people have to have booming stats off the break in order to be considered the top guy. I think this is part of the problem with how people coach their quarterbacks to begin with. Maybe you do want to get a guy that can just kind of handle the lights and is smart enough to be able to get into different systems and just do what they are told as they develop, as opposed to somebody who you've got to rearrange your entire playbook for because that's their skill set already. That's where I think there's a philosophical issue that is really fascinating for me. And people act like I'm crazy because I keep mentioning Tom Brady all the time. And I say the only reason I mention that guy is because if you took away if you had them both play and you looked at them in terms of like graphical representations of they are, they're kind of boring guys that don't really get around the pocket a lot. They just make good decisions on lower, occasionally a deep ball or so, and then they just don't make mistakes. If that's the kind of player you think you can develop a quarterback into, that's where a Shador Sanders makes sense for you. It's not necessarily going to be the guy that you say, I need him to stretch the field. I need him to be able to do it with his feet. No. No. That's not the player he was ever going to be, just because it happened to be a little bit of that at Colorado. And I think that gulf is what the hard part is for a lot of NFL teams.
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely a lot of points there. I mean, Brady ultimately wound up being one of the great pocket movers of all time. Like, obviously, he couldn't get out of the pocket, and it's something that is a concern with Shador. Brady was also had prototypical height, but also, like, let's not pretend like he was some super prospect because he was a sixth round. Like, we all know he was pick 199. Yeah. So, you know, I think what you're saying is more important to swallow than it is to try to pick apart. I think the other part of that, though, is who are you as a kid and who are you as a man and who are you as a professional? And I think that is where, and again, I think your point is one that should be taken seriously. This might say something more about the coaches than the kid. But if you're the coach and making it, you have to feel comfortable with the kid to say, okay, you don't have the rocket arm, you don't have the raw materials, you don't have the size. Are you going to put in the work to be so good at the craft that you're going to succeed anyway? And unfortunately, the way Shador rubs off on people, I don't think people leave those meetings feeling warm and fuzzy. And ultimately, they're the one with the pick. And I think that is also in part why we land where we are today, where he's available this evening for selection on day two.
Right. But that also depends on what you're looking for immediately out of the player. And this is, again, where I get to the strength of a program, the quality of a franchise. And I'm going to give you an example of where I think this could work at the end of me explaining this. Okay. If you want a guy that's going to come in and prove something to you regarding whatever you think their talent should be, and that's like more important to you than whether or not they can develop at a rate that you're determining, okay. But also,
well, I think, hold on real quick, things are tied though. Is like,
they are,
your rate of development is going to depend on the work. It's not about proving
I don't necessarily know that they are as tied in. How to explain this is part of the problem, in my personal opinion, with how a lot of these teams look at things. So throw kids in the fires. They won't have any sort of clear demarcation of what makes sense for development. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you weren't working hard enough. It's like, whoa. What was the actual goal here? I'll just use Jackson Dart as an example. Okay. You got Russell Wilson there. You got Jameis as the backup. Because of the way that the coach and the GM are fighting for their jobs, if Russell Wilson starts to suck, are you just going to throw Jackson Dart in there? And then all of a sudden say, well, the development didn't go. The kid wasn't working hard enough, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? And I like Jackson Dart a lot. I think he is a flat out better quarterback than Shedeur Sanders. And I don't think that's really particularly stressful to say. But what I'm saying is, and this is now is when I'll use the example. If he goes to a team like the Los Angeles Rams, that has their system that they have. They've got a quarterback who's a veteran. They aren't worried about a second or third round pick suddenly coming in to make them something other than what they are. Is that going to be a system that he can thrive in? Whether or not this idea of are you working hard enough or not, do you fit into the system, is actually what is going to matter in that situation. And I think he's got the IQ to do that. He's played in five different offenses since he's been in college because Prime loves running through offensive coordinators. I don't think it's going to be an IQ thing. I don't think it's going to be a work ethic thing. It's going to be an expectation thing versus a trust in yourself thing. And that's why I think the Rams would actually be a pretty good team for him to go to.
Yes.
On a lot of levels. Not that a lot of other quarterbacks wouldn't do well in that scenario, but specifically for him, that would be a very interesting scenario under a coach who is self-confident, who has done it in different ways with different types of quarterbacks. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I totally agree that I don't think there's a better fit. I mean, look, if I was a quarterback anywhere, I'd want to go play for Sean McVay.
Right.
But I think specifically for Shedeur, for all of these reasons, Sean is right. Clint Yates with us for just another minute here on the Hoffman Show. Last thing I'll ask you, though, is something that I actually don't worry about in LA as much, but I will lean on your relationship with Prime and, you know, professional relationship with Prime here to answer this. If I am a team that's not LA, and maybe I'm not like Pittsburgh because Mike Tomlin doesn't give a rip, but I'm a lot of these other places and I'm drafting him knowing I'm going to start him as a backup, and there's a really good chance if I'm drafting him, my top option's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, are you concerned with, we'd call it meddling, pressure, whatever? Because I think that is another story that has emerged, and that's one where I'm like, Deion's been around the NFL a long time. Like, Deion knows how this works. That feels a little off to me, but do you think that is that a concern you would have if you were a team?
I think, honestly, that might be the number one reason why he didn't go in the first round. And not just because of, like, spite, but because there's that fifth extra year. And when you've got that fifth extra year that you've got to negotiate, if you go in the first round, is, you know, like, it changes the nature of the relationship with how long you're going to have to deal with that. And I do think that there is something to be said where if you're a second round pick, that extra fifth year isn't part of it. Therefore,
the expectations change too.
The expectations change drastically, and you're not looking at a situation where Prime is constantly looming over your head because you haven't invested the same amount of money into it. I don't even think it's personal at that point. I think it has as much to do with the function of how the CBA works as anything. And if you're looking to avoid a scenario where you're tied in potentially to something longer than you have to be, if it doesn't go right, you're just not going to do it because of the fact that he's got one of the greatest football players of all time as his, you know, mentor and his dad. So yeah, I do think that's related, but I don't think it's because any particular franchise is looking at that like, I can't have Prime in my building. You're going to have Prime in your building, and that's just part of it. It's just a matter of how you manage that.
I think that that's a big factor. If you're telling me I'm going to have that, you know, dad in the building, even if he's Deion Sanders, like, coach's ego. And again, I'm not saying this is necessarily a good thing, because I think if you're smart, you can welcome him into the building in the right ways and be like, hey man, like, you're Deion Sanders. I would like to lean on that resource, but like, I'm the head coach and you know how it is as a head coach. So we're going to have a respectful, good relationship, but you know how NFL coaches are with their egos.
I do.
And there are dudes that are going to be like, ain't no way. And I do think like managing that is really important, because like you don't want to feel like the young quarterback's dad is running the locker room with a bunch of grown men. Like there's dynamics to manage there. But I think someone like Sean McVay could do that really well. I think there's a lot of other coaches who couldn't do it very well and don't want to deal with it. And thus Shador Sanders might not even be on their board.
I don't disagree with you, but the idea of I don't want to deal with it is not a default definition of I might not get better. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a situation where you might need somebody to walk in and say, hey, it might not even have anything to do with his own son. The guy knows what he's doing. He's been around. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You can look at it as a threat. You can look at it as also an additional resource and a football mind, even just on the smallest level, to let you know every once in a while, hey, what do you think about this? The guy doesn't have to take over everything. He's Deion Sanders. All right. He's got his own thing. And the assumption that he's going to want to walk in and usurp everybody in order to be able to contribute at all, I just think is the sign of somebody that is, I don't know, not you, I'm saying, but like a coach that is otherwise just overly insecure.
Yeah, no, 100%. And boy, is there some insecurity amongst NFL coaching staffs across this league. Correct. Clinton Yates, you can catch him on the radio, Clinton and Friends, weekdays in the morning. Also listen on the ESPN app. Anything else? You did a lot of Star Wars talking today.
Yes, I was just about to say, I'm ready to stop talking on this microphone, Gregory. So I appreciate you and have a good weekend.
Just, last thing to say, what if people want to listen to the Star Wars podcast? It's called
Never Tell Me the Odds. It's myself, Ryan McGee, and Arta Ocal. We did a full season breakdown in four different episodes of season two of Andor, starring Diego Luna.
Bingo. Clint Yates, everybody.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. And coming up at 6 o'clock, our final segment today, as we will, of course, have the Nationals and Mets coming at you. 6:15 Nats on deck, 6:45 first pitch against the Metropolitans. We will go inside the NFC East. But other than that, Anthony, we're going to do right now real quickly, head scratchers and hat tips. So a hat tip, like, hey, nice job. I see you. Head scratchers. I'm going to give us one each. You know what my head scratcher is? And we have audio to go with it, right? You pulled that, Anthony?
Yeah, I have the audio.
Okay, excellent. So we'll get to that last. So I'll let you go first. You get your first hat tip, and I'll go my hat tip, and then you go your head scratcher, and then we'll go my head scratcher. So who's the team that you're like, hey, I see you. Well done in the first round of the NFL draft.
I think it started after the first pick. I think the Browns trading down to number five, trading back, getting Mason Graham, and then also acquiring a 2026 first. I think they did what needed to be done. They also didn't overthink it. Mason Graham, top five talent in this year's draft, like, I think it was a no-brainer going with the position. And I think they didn't decide to go with Travis because they already have, like, talent in the, you know, their secondary. It wasn't necessarily a position to need, but I think a guy like Mason Graham can definitely, you know, play alongside a Myles Garrett and make things a little bit easier for him. So,
yeah,
I say the Browns.
I actually like the other side of that trade. I was actually thinking about making that my hat tip. I'll go a different direction.
It worked for both sides. I agree.
Yeah, no, I respect the GM and the new administration, and they're doing kind of what Tennessee did to Will Levis last year. Like, Trevor Lawrence is a lot better than Will Levis, but it's like, hey, bro, we're going to find out if you can play quarterback. Because we're giving you Travis Hunter as a wide receiver, and we gave you some other dudes, and you got Calvin Ridley. Like, we're going to find out. Ridley's in Tennessee now. Like, we got some dudes. We got Brian Thomas Jr. We're going to find out if you can play. And if not, we're going to go in a different direction. But you got 1 year with Liam Cohen. And if not, we're going to make some moves. And I actually love that from Jacksonville. Armand Membu might be the most sensical pick in the entire draft for the Jets at 7. They have Fashanu last year at left tackle. Membu played right tackle, and everyone just assumed he'd be a top 10 pick and switch to left wherever he went. Now he just gets to play right tackle. So New York Jets, making sense. Not something that happens often. A little scared for Armand Membu because nothing for the Jets ever works out. But this feels like an actual smart thing that they did.
Yeah, and their offensive line is young because you still got Elijah Vera Tucker. You got Fashanu. They have another guard or center that's really young too. I can't think off the top of my head. But yeah, I like the Membu pick as well.
And for a team that's probably going to run the mess out of the football, running back and quarterback style.
Like Breece Hall, baby.
Yeah, like that's how they're going to try to muck games up this year. Run the ball, play defense, and Aaron Glenn, I'm sure, is perfectly fine to make that their identity. All right, head scratcher, Anthony. Who's your head scratcher of the first round?
Hold on, let me pull up the draft.
This is a thing that we've been planning on doing the entire show. Perhaps you could have come prepared for the segment.
I will say, I mean, who you're going to pick is definitely...
I did steal the easy one.
No, I'm not stealing it.
I did steal the... And I'm saying I stole the easy one. It just so happened that I was live while it happened, and the way it went down was hilarious on our live stream. And I even cussed. Luckily, don't worry, it's bleeped. But yeah, it's the other. I'll say 19's the other one.
Yeah, yeah. But Craig, you have three, so I'm like, I can't take all three.
What do you mean all three?
I mean, oh, the Giants.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about them more next. For
okay,
sure.
All right. So not the like Giants.
Tampa.
Yeah. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, I think it's Tampa, to be honest.
They took McMillan last year, plus they've got Mike Evans, plus they just re-signed Chris Godwin, and then you take Emeka Egbuka?
I mean, their guys are getting older, but at the same token, you just gave Godwin an extension. Mike Evans is still in his prime, still accumulating 1,000-yard season. So that is interesting. That is a very head scratching move.
Yeah, not the pick we expected. Now, biggest head scratcher, biggest face palm of the draft, Atlanta Falcons. And when they traded back in, we were live on my YouTube page at Craig Hoffman. It was me and my guy Tony Squares. And we were flabbergasted at the trade. And then we found out what they did with it. And with some slight musical enhancement, here's how that sounded. Also, the Falcons on the clock at 26. We got a trade. The Falcons are coming back in. Who the bleep are they coming back in for?
What are you doing?
LA Rams get a 2026 first-round pick from Atlanta. Oh, my God. What are you doing? The two picks after this Giants one we were just making fun of that wasn't enough to move for anything. Congratulations, Atlanta. You gave up next year's first? Next year's first? Who is this? Who could this possibly be?
Because they took Jalen Walker, so, like, it's not... You would think it's not for one of the edges. Unless they're going to double up. Are they going to go, like, Mike Green or James Pierce or...
They just spent next year's first round pick on James Pierce. I mean, Atlanta, you do you.
This is the most Falcons pick. What are they doing? Nobody in the NFL likes him. You might have been able to get him at 46.
I did not think Atlanta could get any dumber after what they did in last year's draft. And I like Michael Penix Jr. who was using your draft capital intelligently. They just did it again. They just doubled down on stupidity. Atlanta is the dumbest franchise in the NFL. You already drafted Jalen. What are we doing, Craig? What are we doing?
As I sunk down in my chair, backing away slowly. Also, the music, the Curb music was too loud on that version. Whoops. Note to self, lower it. Luckily, if you want the version with the music lowered, go to TikTok or YouTube Shorts. Or if you want to see the full version, go to Instagram at Hoffman.sports. But yeah, the Falcons took a guy nobody liked and gave up next year's first round pick to do it. Unbelievable waste of draft capital.
I mean, hey, look, I don't know. I'm speechless, actually. I was trying to find the words. I just couldn't.
It's a head scratcher, Anthony. It's a head scratcher. There's head scratchers and hat tips. I want to on Monday. We were short on the show today, obviously, but on Monday, I'm going to give a thought on every single team's first round pick. So we'll go through literally 1 through 32 and we'll give one thought each. So we'll do the whole draft in like 10 minutes. Be very fun. We'll also obviously do plenty of other review on Monday, including what the Commanders do this weekend. But let's take a deeper dive into the NFC East and what they did in the first round. Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles to wrap up as we send you off into Nationals baseball coming up at 6:15 here on the Team 980.